Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Stories of the UO. I am your host, Gabriela Skrow, and today I am joined by Julia Nimirovskaya. Julia is a senior instructor of Russian, East European, and Eurasian Studies, known as RIES. She grew up in Moscow, Russia, has previously taught at Brigham Young University in Utah, and is a poet and author. I have her here on the show today to discuss a course she teaches, Russian Through Theater. In this class, she directs students and produces an English-Russian bilingual play, which is then performed at the end of the term. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the UO Russian Theater Program, and the last term they put on a play called Shadow. Julia, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I want to start off by asking, how long have you been teaching at the University of Oregon?
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. We moved here in actually 2000, and I quit my job because my husband got a position here at the math department, and we hoped that my sister and her husband would get positions here at the math department, and my stepfather worked at that time at the math department, so I thought I would just be writing books here. But the first years, a lady whose name is Ann Landers had to move out of state because her husband got a seasonal depression in Eugene. And so they asked me to work for a year, which ended up with me being here up till now for 24 years, yeah.
Yes, and has that whole time, have you been teaching the Russian Through Theater program, or did you kind of switch it up as the years went on?
Yes, I was a student theater director at Brigham Young, where I was getting my tenure and didn't actually moved out the fifth year. And so I was really excited about theater at that time and organizing theaters. My friend and I walked on campus, and we found a few venues like Ben Linder Room in EMU and Agate Hall. And I thought, oh, if they have this venue, I'll organize the theater. But up till 2009, it was actually an after-class activity. But then the department kind of helped me organize it as a class. Now we have a grant to do it, so we can even buy things on Amazon for us, like costumes and stuff.
Yeah, that's nice. You mentioned that you started theater at Brigham Young University. Is that where you discovered your love for theater, or how did you find out that that was a subject you're passionate about?
I was crazy about theater since five, because Moscow Art Theater, a very interesting kind of and famous theater, and it plays a very important part in the history of theater, always put up this Blue Bird play for kids by Metterling, by kind of symbolist play, and Sugar, they have Sugar Fire, you know, impersonated, and Sugar broke his fingers and gave sugar pieces to kids. And this was so amazing for me. Since then, I fell in love with theater. Luckily, my dad's uncle was a very famous theater director, and so I grew up around theater, but I never went anywhere with it. I was doing my PhD in undergrad and grad in Russian and French literature, and then we moved to Sweden in 1988, we moved to the US in 1991, and when I came, Russia was extremely popular. You wouldn't believe it. It's just like the opposite of what's going on now. Russia was everybody's favorite, and I got 8 offers. You know, right now you can get 1 offer in 10 years. I got 8 offers in 1 year to teach at different American universities, and when I came to interviews, it was fine everywhere, but when I was at Brigham Young, somebody whose name is Tom Rogers comes up to me and says, you know, I'm a Russian professor and you're stepping into my shoes, but I want to tell you, I'm also student theater director. I nearly fainted, and he turned out to be a Gratovsky student, this famous kind of explorer and theater director from Poland. He taught me the language, you know, he taught me so many tricks. And here I am directing, which I told him from the very beginning, I'm not sure I can do it, but he said, you can do it because you teach with puppets.
I also wanted to ask, what was that transition like coming to America and starting to teach at like an American university as a foreign instructor? Was that difficult, or what were the challenges you faced?
When I first came to my Russian language class, I started to teach Russian. I taught mostly literature afterwards, but at Brigham Young, I began with teaching Russian. We did role play. I said, "What if Adam and Eve were just created, what would they say to each other?" Kids and I, we started to brainstorm that. American students are very engaging, very free, and they have more kind of a playful nature. I think back in Europe, where I also have taught, and of course back in Russia, people are a little more stiff. But I mean, with the global American culture is spreading globally, so I've noticed that even in Russia, students are more relaxed right now.
Starting to talk about students, are all the students who participate in the Rees Theater program students within that area of study, or do you ever have students come in who are like, I want to learn Russian recreationally, or I just want to learn about this because it's something I'm interested in, but not necessarily majoring in?
Yes, it's interesting that it's really people from all walks of life. First and foremost, students who are studying Russian. Then graduate students who actually teach them. Also, Russian community. And mostly students from Russia who miss their language and want to socialize. Any students who just taught themselves Russian. Last year, we had a guy who discovered Russian in the sixth grade, learned the alphabet, and he just aced Russian on his own, you know? He wasn't even in the program. So anyone interested in Russia or Slavic cultures, art, music, we had composers who speak no Russian, but they wanted to write music for us. Artists who speak no Russian, but they were our backdrop artists. I think we are a lucky venue because, for example, the artist who did a few shows for us, she's now doing covers for New Yorker magazine.
Do you think that getting the students involved with Russian literature through this sort of channel, does this feel more effective than just reading the work in a classroom setting?
I think yes, both language and literature. The idea to make theater bilingual, there aren't bilingual plays. How about we create a situation where a director and actors are American and he's teaching them how to play, and all of a sudden they start to act in Russian. So they explain to the audience what's going on, but, you know, the action is in Russian. Or we often have parallel action, like the Dr. Seuss, American children's writer, and Harms, Russian children's author. It just struck me that it's such a good way of learning the language, but I wasn't sure, honestly, until I really saw that so many students from 101 jumped onto 201. Just from participating. And then it struck me that kids learn the whole play because they watch it. You know, they watch, we direct together, we often write the play together with the actors. So literature and language both, I think, are taught through theater on a more, on a larger scale first, more intimately. And also it's, you know, it's a situation where you must speak Russian, and also you forget about your own ego and about all your concerns speaking the foreign language, your accent and stuff like that. So you're kind of like finding a different way of learning the language and literature, of course.
What are the ways that doing this program influences the students in how they view themselves or others?
I really hope, every year, I hope that we create a community of friends. When there are freshmen especially, I know how lonely sometimes they are, how lost they are, and how hard it is for them to find friends. But what is a better way of creating, you know, friendship than teamwork, right? Working together. And also, every Saturday we get together at my home and we, you know, stitch costumes and cook Russian food together, kind of play and record music and whatnot. And so it becomes like a family for me, at least. I don't know. I hope for the students too, because very often they say so. And I don't care that much if we will be a perfect, you know, show or not so perfect a show, but we would always become friends. And I'm friends on social media with every cast I've had.
I was wondering what challenges you might face as a producer and as an instructor, and if there's any issues you consistently run into.
Yes, especially at the beginning, the place. was a big issue. So Ben Linder was too small, and they had columns at EMU. So part of the audience had to bend over, kind of like to see our shows. And it was more like amphitheater, so we were down there, and we didn't have any changing rooms. But when we got Agate Hall with two rooms where people could change, it was fine. Then things happened to Agate Hall because it became very old and dangerous. And then I was thinking, what should we do? And Egina Akoban, our Slavic and German now, she's a librarian at the Knight Library, she kind of whispered into my ear, you know, they're building this new dorm, Global Scholars Hall. Let's go and talk to them about building like one room with theater. And they agreed. The only thing, they made the stage very low because it's also used as a classroom. But we also go around that. If you're not within theater department, you face challenge with every step, just the show itself, right? Think about that. It's not like people audition for you, right? Basically, what the situation you face is, you come to a class, you have to really employ everyone, and mostly playing in the play, right? Cast or crew sometimes. Some people want to be crew. We only have 24 hours because we meet twice a week to put together this whole play, right? So how fast should the casting be done? We do skits. I ask them to like create some skits in groups. And then I of course film it, and then I spend hours and hours and hours. And how is that, like, this guy? What's his Russian like? One or two or three? And this is the hardest part. So sometimes we get 50 students, sometimes we get 15. I'm so grateful for all the help that Lara Ravitch from the Russian program, we cast, we sit together and cast for hours after the first class. And to students themselves, they're amazing because they are kind of why it's worth doing.
Yeah, we'll start to wrap up here. But before we go, I want to ask, what is the biggest takeaway or reward that comes along with watching students learn and grow over these 10 weeks?
I love just every moment of it. You know, I think for me, it's an honor, it's luck, it's just real happiness to meet all those kids, you know, because those students they're amazing people, you know, they're amazing people. If they come to theater, it already says tons about them, you know. They are brave, they're creative, they want to learn a different culture, especially now with this atrocious war and this terrible Putin, you know, still overcoming that and understanding that there is value in my culture, right, in the Russian culture, which is so compromised right now. The language is so compromised. I think there are so many things they understand are kind of either temporal or insignificant, and they understand what's significant. They're just amazing people. So year after year, I get newer, another friend group, basically. And then I can write to everyone from all casts. So it's already a network of friends who help each other. It's lovely. It's lovely from the very moment I see them, too. And we so often cry when we part. So it's just very lovely.
Julia, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do this and be here with me.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you very much for having me. I so much love theater that it's a great pleasure to talk about it.
Of course. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of Stories of the UO. I'm Gabriella Scro, and we'll see you next time.